All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're in the book of Leviticus. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Leviticus, and this is chapter 15. And let's ask the Lord to anoint this chapter. Lord, anoint this chapter so that we see the symbolism in it, and because all these things regarding sacrifices and health, spiritual health, and also physical health. The physical health has to do also with the spiritual health. The cancerous leprosy in people's flesh is stated in your word as being sin. This isn't something I made up. It's in your word. And when Miriam sinned, you turned her to leprosy. And in this particular chapter, Lord, it has to do with things that issue out of the body, discharges. And we've been called to be dispensers of your word, not Satanism. Because there's people in this church, Lord, that have seen their friends committing adultery on their husbands, and their husbands committing adultery on their wives, or fornication and so on, and committing adultery with somebody else's wife. And we see that this is discharges coming out of their bodies, because we're going to be judged for everything we do, everything that was done in our bodies. And people just don't take it to heart. And Lord, I pray that it just seems like with some people that are already gone, that the more I reveal the mystery of your word to them, the more it is revealed unto them that they're not what they should be in you, and that they're not even in you. In the case of Brian Broderick usurping authority and doing the things that he did today, and then saying that he didn't want to talk to me. In other words, he doesn't want to be counseled. And Lord, you that's all right in your eyes, because you say that you didn't make us robots, that we are free moral agents, and he can do whatever he pleases. But know you this one thing, that there'll come a day of judgment, and people are going to be judged for the things that they did in their bodies, and for the things that issued out of their bodies, their mouth, and the things that they did, their deeds, the things they said, every word that comes out of their mouths, and even the thoughts and intents of their hearts is going to be judged. And we've been commanded, Lord, to pull down these strongholds, everything that exalts itself over your word. And people say there's a woman in the church that committed adultery on her husband, and I mentioned that to one of the people in the church, and they said, well, I guess he just got under her skin, as though this was approvable. My God, that's like a red fog coming out of that person's mouth, and I immediately was made aware of what this person's mind is and what their spiritual condition is, and that there's they don't pay any attention to anything that you say, Lord. This person is wondering then why they're so confused all the time and why they can't get anything straight. It's because their mind, Father, is warped. Lord, I pray for this person that, because I've known for years exactly what this person was. It's like a dinosaur, an evil, wicked serpent in the midst that doesn't care what comes out of its mouth. It's like a fire, but it's not a consuming fire like you are. You want to consume people with your word, Lord, but this is something that is totally the opposite of your word. This is Satan in the first degree. Lord, anoint this chapter. And I see people not getting better, from the worst, but they're getting worse. Look at all these people that had to be reproved, rebuked, to be put out of this house because of their words and deeds. And Lord, if it boils down to just two of us, and if you're about ready to pull Susie up from the dead, I pray that, Lord, that these people will, when they see that happen, if it's not too late, that they'll repent. But they doubt that you're able to do such a thing as this, even though your word says that you're going to pull everybody up from the dead. Everybody that has been dead for thousands of years, for centuries, for years, months, days, minutes, everyone that's dead and buried, you're going to pull out of the grave. But they think it's such an impossible thing for you to raise the dead. Lord, the reason for it is because they haven't been raised from the dead yet themselves. There's still the same things coming out of their mouths. They come out of the mouths of the serpents out into the world. He said it's false brethren, and that they deceive themselves by the things that come out of their mouth, the things that issue out of their bodies. So, Lord, let everyone realize. Some people say, well, I don't have an issue coming out of my body. But they don't realize. They're not spiritual enough to know that the things that they say every day and do every day are the things that they're going to be judged for. The thoughts, the intents of their heart even. Because it's done in their body. The Bible says that we're going to be judged for all the things, all the deeds we've done, all the things we've said in this very body that your spirit and our spirit is dwelling in at the moment. And there's no way that we can get rid of that except to surrender ourselves completely into your service. Lord, we give you all the thanks, the honor, and the praise if you'll anoint us and make this evil thing be cast out in this service, and that you'll give us a pure heart with only your pure word and only pure deeds to be done in this body of ours. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we ask also that these people think that because they're sitting in the church, or that people that are sitting in the church, there's many of them that have all fallen away many years ago. And they just don't think that I know it and that you know it. They're so gone with their minds and their spirits that it's actually disgusting to you and to me as well. They don't think of themselves as disgusting, but their entire lives are evil, unclean issues. Lord, make them ashamed. The world is walking around in the nude now, and they just walk around, as the book of Jude says, proud, blasphemers, contrary to your word. And every evil thing that's on the face of this earth. Lord, if these messages don't get to them, then in some way, move them out, Lord, because it's for sure I won't miss them. And they're a contaminating force in this church. Lord, if you don't want me to be present in this Sodom and Gomorrah type atmosphere, then deliver me as you did Lot. In the mighty name of Jesus, and also deliver anyone else in the church, Lord, that is not happy with a lot of the people that are in the church. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
Leviticus chapter 15, bodily discharges, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean.
If people say things, evil things, is that not coming out of their flesh?
Yes.
Is it not issuing forth out of their flesh?
Yes.
Because whatsoever they say is in their heart, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so just because you're not having running issues out of your genitals, that doesn't mean that's the only thing that can be running or issuing out of you that's evil or sinful. Because the Lord has more to say about the tongue and the bridling of it and the keeping your spirit under the subjection, your whole body under the subjection of the Lord. So, running issues out of your mouth, your eyes, your ears, all the different, and wherever, can be stopped, but only when a person surrenders their lives totally unto the Lord. Is when the healing takes place. Then what?
Verse 3, and this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness.
Right, and the Lord says more that the things that come out of our mouth are more unclean than if you had anything like that. Right? This is just symbolic of the evil in your heart that comes out of your heart. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Then what?
Verse 4. Every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean, and everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean.
Yeah, in other words, if you're sitting among prostitutes or lying with them or condoning such things or thinking that that's just the natural thing that you're supposed to do, and there's no difference between a saved person or an unsaved person, in other words, a clean person or an unclean person, well, then you're a reprobate, a reject of the Lord. Then what?
Verse 5, and whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water.
Yeah, well, this is symbolic of the garments of righteousness. We're to be dressed in white and keep our garments spotless. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so this is talking symbolically here. That the Lord doesn't even want anything, such a thing as this with the flesh, let alone anything that's coming out of your spirit, that's in your spirit that comes out of your flesh, out of your mouth. Then what?
And be unclean until the even.
Yeah, and when the sun goeth down, that's the last day of your life. All right, then that's symbolic of it. Okay, what else?
Verse 6. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water.
Yeah, because that what comes out of your mouth, if you talk about, if you're a girl and you talk about boys all the time, and that's in your heart, you're going to be sitting down with the boys. And you're going to be lying down with them also. And the boys, if that's all they talk about is girls, they're going to be with the girls. Because they don't have their mind on the Lord. They've got their mind on the carnal. And, you know this. At first they say, well, what, are you against marriage? Oh, nobody's ever really accused me of that before. As a matter of fact, many people say I'm married to 100 wives, you know. So, I mean, you know, with the devil, you just, there's nowhere you can go. You say, no, I'm not married to 100 wives. I have one wife, or whatever, and then they'll say you're a homosexual. So there's, I'm neither one of those, all right? And so there's nowhere you can go. The devil's just the accuser of the saints, and he accuses them day and night falsely. And, you know, I was put away in prison for 6 years because they said that all the money that came into the church, that I ate all the food, when we're feeding like literally thousands of meals every day. This is the devil, okay? And then they said I lived in all the hundreds of houses or apartments or the things that we had. And of course, that wasn't true. And then they just made it that I was supposed to be doing 6 years in prison and pay all these exorbitant fines. They say these things about anyone that's of the Lord, because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's some people that think they're being persecuted because their flesh is eaten up with lust, and you see them with the evil tempers against the Word of God and against those that are the Word of God issues out of their bodies. You see, those kind of things don't come out of a body of a person that has the Spirit of the Lord in them. The person that has the Spirit of the Lord in them are appalled, and are shocked at such things. Even though we know that these things exist in the world, and I believe I know it better than, most, I'm shocked and, surprised, because there's all kinds of different people that have all kinds of things issuing out of them every day. And you know just exactly where people stand with the Lord. You know exactly where they're at by the things that are issuing out of them. Now, these type of things are private to a lot of people, but a lot of people are very vocal. They let you know all kinds of things. You can get in a conversation with them and they just loosen up and start laughing and joking and jiving, and they just issues start coming out of their mouths. And you think that perhaps they were Christians, but my God, they condone adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, everything. And they're into it themselves. Because whatsoever they are, it comes out of their mouth and comes out of their bodies. It issues out. Then what?
Verse 6, and he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even.
When the sun goeth down, at evening time, okay, sun going down, boy, sun going down. If you read my new tract, you're going to be floored, because it's filled with how close we are to end time prophecy. How close we are to the end time. It's just loaded with end time prophecy, and it unveils the political structure as never before. You won't hear it on the news. You won't hear it in your house. You won't hear it in your schools, your universities, but you only can hear it from the Lord. For the Lord gives it to his people. And when the Lord says that few there be, straight and narrow is the way, and few there be that shall enter therein, he really means that. I mean, everybody thinks they're saved. But no, the Lord says not everybody will be saved. As a matter of fact, he's enlarging hell for maybe you. Why don't you examine the things that have come out of your mouth and see where you are? And see who you are. Now, mirror. Look into the Word of God and see if you match up. If the things you say are the things that the Lord says. When the woman was caught in adultery, did he say, well, I guess these guys just got under her skin. Did he say that?
No.
Oh, these people are so benevolent. When they say no, they act as though, oh, they're so holy. But they're the ones that said it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
No, he said, look. He says, whichever one of you people, I'm not going to say that they're not to be stoned to death, because they surely shall be stoned to death. But you guys that brought her in here, whichever one of you is without sin, you start stoning her right now, because that is the law. The Lord didn't say the law was over with. He said, stone her. So they all dropped what they were doing, turned around and walked out, because most theologians and most even laity say that they must have been the ones that were having adultery with her. Amen? Committing adultery with her. When he said that, well, he said, "Where are your accusers?" I don't have any. They all took off because they know that they've sinned just like me, and they couldn't stone me because they were convicted. Well, I don't condemn you either, but now go and sin no more. Don't let anybody throw you down anymore. Or a worse thing will happen to you. I've forgiven you now, but you won't be forgiven. That's the worst thing that could happen to you. You won't be forgiven again. Once is sufficient. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 7. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Verse 8. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even.
Right. So they like to spit. If somebody spits on you, the Lord says, spits out their venom, this kind of stuff. Well, I guess he just got under her skin, and that gives her the right to commit adultery. The Lord says he'll spit you out of his mouth and spit you into the world because you match up there. You're not going to throw souls out in the world because they all do that. But don't be in the church and be saying things like that or be doing things like that, because people will begin thinking that the church is just like the world, just like you are. Won't they? And the church, the bride of Christ, the clean and beautiful bride of Christ, is not at all to be like the world. They're to be the exact opposite. Amen? Okay, go ahead.
Verse 9. And what saddle soever he rideth upon, that hath the issue shall be unclean.
Yeah. This is, people are riding on the face of this earth. They're just doing their own thing. They go to and fro in the church, seeking who they can devour. By their words, they make light. They said it not. Everything that the Lord has said is evil, and they just, they're not cut or convicted by what they say or do. And the Lord says they think that they're just wonderful, and they said everything at not, but then when they start, the Lord starts taking their life, then are they going to scream? We have people from time to time call over here on the phone, and they're screaming. I think the Lord's taking my life. I feel my spirit moving inside my body. Can I go to the doctor? You pray for me. If now it's still there, can I go to the doctor? Yeah, go over to the doctor. They said, there's nothing wrong. It's just the Lord is dealing with them. And it's about ready to yank their soul, maybe, out of their bodies. Because it's going to happen to everybody soon. Nobody has many days. The Lord says that our lives are like the grass, like shadows, vapors. And so you're here now and gone tomorrow. Or you're here today and you're gone tonight. And so people have to be careful what issues out of their bodies. Because the sun going down, pwah, the sun going down, girl. It's going down sooner than you think, too. Now, because the soul is eternal, it's going to live. Everybody thinks you're going to live forever, and you are. But not your body. You're going to give up the ghost. And I know you think, well, I'll repent at the last minute. Not so, the Lord says, not so. Okay, let's go.
Verse 10. And whosoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even.
Yeah, if bad things are issuing out, you better wash and get your act together, wash your clothes, get washed in the blood of Jesus. Because all that's there, we have to be dressed for eternity. put on the full armor of God, to put on the white robes now. Because if you're doing the exact opposite of what the Lord says to do, if these things are issuing, coming into you and they issue out, you're so far under Satan's control that it doesn't even mean anything to you. He's convinced you that the things in the Bible are not true. And you're going to be screaming. When it happens, I want you to remember that I told you so. But I told you from the Bible, the Word of God. And then what?
Verse 11, and whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue, and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even.
It's like Tommy's wife, you know. She, as I said on the tape yesterday, she said that she didn't think Tommy loved her. Well, then she should have done something to make him love her. And she says, well, he was in a lot of trouble. And because he was in the soul clinic. I was teaching him the things that he was doing wrong and telling him from the Word of God what to do. And I can't be doing the things that he's doing. Okay, so that, she thought, gave her the right to, instead of lift him up and help the pastor bring him to repentance, she figured it would be, that gives her the right to become a lesbian. She got a weird way of thinking. Then she wrote a letter the other day saying that this is her thoughts, that if she really thought he loved her and that he wasn't in trouble, then she probably never would have done things like this. She's just blaming him for falling down. The Bible says that sometimes we do fall down, but that's why it says two are better than one, because the other one will lift it up, because that's love. The love of God, love is the keeping of God's commandments, and he says to lift one another up, not become a lesbian when he falls down a little bit. And when she thinks he doesn't love, because he's not performing the way that she requires him to, well, then that gives her the right to be a lesbian. Well, needless to say that she was immediately ushered out of the church, dispersed, spit out of the church, the body of Christ. And then she, after 2 months or 3 months, however long it's been, then she writes her version of what she thinks caused her to do such a thing as that. Instead of just saying it was the lust in her flesh, she sees the rest of the world doing that, and she thinks she's being deprived of being a lesbian when other women, lots of them, are lesbians, and she wants to be one too. It's unfortunate for her that she feels the way that she does, but it's no skin off of my nose. I'm not going to hell, or I'm not by sympathizing with her. If the Lord doesn't sympathize with her and is not going to answer any of her cries in hell in the lake of fire, why should I? I haven't got time to sympathize with satanic, absolutely satanic, dyed-in-the-wool, rotten-to-the-core people. I have no time for that. There's plenty of people in the world that need the Lord. I want to be around those that want the Lord and are not into Satanism as she is. Okay, then what?
Verse 12, and the vessel of earth that he toucheth, which hath the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water.
Right, now we're a vessel of earth. We're earthen vessels, amen?
Amen.
Okay, now go into the translation.
Translation verse 1 through 12, bodily discharges. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, quote, give these further instructions to the Israelites. Any man who has a genital discharge is ceremonially unclean because of it.
Right. Old Testament is saying a genital discharge, but it's symbolic of You know, your mouth becomes... Did you ever hear that this man's mouth is a sewer? Huh?
Yes.
Well, the genital, in fact, is a semi-sewer. Amen?
Amen.
So, your mouth is a sewer. Or it's something that's nice and clean and descriptive of the things that the Lord wants you to say, clean things. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 3. This defilement applies whether the discharge continues or is stopped up. In either case, the man is unclean. Verse 4. Any bedding on which he lies and anything on which he sits will be defiled.
Verse. Right. Now this is the way that it's talking about in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament we see that anything that issues out of your mouth, we're going to be condemned for, judged by for every word that comes out of our mouth. Every idle word even. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yes.
All right, then what?
Verse 5. So if you touch the man's bedding, you will be required to wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain ceremonially defiled until evening.
Ceremony. It's a ceremony when we communicate to the Lord. That's a, you know, a worship ceremony. We talk to him, and then he talks to us. And if you're unclean in your heart and in your mind, you're not going to be sincere when you're seeking the Lord, because you're full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're full of the love of the world. And that's where these fightings and wars come from. It says so. Let's read that part in the Bible. In the book of James. Let's give them a little chance to go to the book of James. And that's chapter what?
4.
Chapter 4. And we'll just read a few words from there. Go ahead.
From whence come wars and fightings among you?
Where do wars and fightings come? You see people with bad dispositions for no reason at all in the church? There's no earthly reason. Now, you know, the devil thinks I've got a bad disposition, and I do. I don't like him, and I'm commanded by the Lord not to love him. And people think that's wrong. But according to the Lord, he says for me to reprove and rebuke these the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
And to actually even smite scorners and to discipline children and to discipline everybody, really. And, of course, a lot of people think that's wrong. Then what is good? But, you know, if you see people in there just for no reason at all, is going into, that are in the house of the Lord and start fights, fist fights in front of the church, or they walk into a place maybe where their husband or wife is working and they start throwing things at them or beating them around for no reason at all, instead of going to the pastor and having the pastor read from the Word of God and explain from the Word of God what should be done. Okay, so read some more from James here.
Come they not hence, even of your lusts?
Yeah, fightings and war comes from your lusts. If you're full of rage over the Word of God, it's because you've grown tired of your wife or your husband, and you're looking into the world and thinking that perhaps there's something better out there in the world for you, and that you're missing out on something to be in the body of Christ. And for this you'll be judged. Okay, they come from the lusts. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Love not the world. Okay, then what?
Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?
Yeah, because there's lust in your... You're not thinking about the Lord, you're not meditating on the Lord. And your members, you're just filled full of lust. You've grown tired of your wife. And your wife has grown tired of doing things in decency and order. She doesn't call the pastor. She calls some man in the church. And she doesn't realize, because she's not bright, that her husband's just looking for an excuse to leave her because he's left her years ago in heart. And so she gives him the reason. She calls another man saying, it's leaking over here. Instead of calling me, she's dispatching my troops to different areas, and I don't even know the building is leaking. And I'm in charge of that building, not her. It's not up to her to call anybody to go and fix it, because I'll get it fixed a lot faster. And then it's been said by the people that she's calling that she keeps calling all the time. Now, she said that she hasn't. But she also said that she wasn't on drugs. And I sent a party over there to check out her house, and it was loaded full of different drugs. So she's gone down in my book and in my mind is that she's a liar. And then she dressed up like a harlot in a car in front of a motel when the witnessing crew was there, and sat there early in the morning with a red dress, I'm told, on, and fully made up at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Their hair all styled up, with the invitation written all over her, kiss her, all over her face. And I'm supposed to believe what she says? No, a husband and wife says she calls all the time, trying to run my church. You usurpers of authority are full of the lust of the flesh. And you've given in this case, this woman has given her husband a reason, he thinks, to just leave the church. And he did. Because you're out of order and you create an atmosphere of being out of order in the church, and he's gone now. And he was, nobody even reported that he had a bad temper against the things of the Lord. He never reported it to me, and he always acted like a very upright young man in front of me. And obviously he's none of those things, because everybody's saying that he had a real bad temper. And when nobody reports the devil in the church, and that's a sin also, because it shows that you're condoning, that you don't have any, you don't feel there's any difference of having evil in the church. You know, it doesn't matter if it's like the world to you. And so you're guilty too. You become guilty before the Lord because you're not a watchman. And the Lord says, watch. And what is a watchman for but to report? The Bible tells you that you're supposed to have, I don't like children on watch, because the Bible plainly states that there's men, only men over 50 or 60 years old are to be watchmen, because they're no longer fit, according to the scriptures, to fight in battle, but they are to watch. Those are the watchmen, are the older people, because they know what to look, they should know what to look for. And even though they're old, they can watch. Amen?
Amen.
If they're not blind. And spiritually speaking, I'm not blind. I've got 20/20 vision in the spiritual realm. And these people that are trying to rule the church, they put young kids on watch. And they just figure they're too old to watch. That's the ones they're supposed to watch. You're supposed to put your most intelligent people on watch. Not somebody that falls asleep, like Mario in Los Angeles, who fell asleep and then somebody came in behind the church and was doing something back there, and nobody really has figured out what it was. They went and stole some kind of tools, and he saw them as they were driving off. He woke up. Something's wrong. Is this the body of Christ? the things that issue out of the people in a church tells you whether they're the body of Christ or not. Okay, then what? Go ahead a little bit more.
Verse 2, ye lust and have not.
You lust and have not because your mind is not on the Lord. You hear these people, you know, saying, you have to do this, you must keep these commandments. A dead tree can't grow fruit or leaves. And the Lord likens the sun to trees, or branches. We can't bear fruit, we can't do anything. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. There's nothing really that is of the Lord that comes out of your mouth. There's no issue of life coming out of you. But there's a lot of sinful issue that comes out of you. It was discouraging to Sue, but you're not going to discourage me because I'm going to discourage you. All I have to do is what the Lord said in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Measure people with the word of God, and when they don't measure up, start chastening them or put them out of the court, outside the church. And I'll do this to my own children. I'd put them in a military school someplace or get them into a reform school or someplace. Because they're not going to be in the house of the Lord if they're going to be evil and wicked and bring condemnation down on the church. Now the Lord shut the door of finances, and then in Los Angeles they say that we owe $1.5 million taxes on the property there, and a lot of people are ordering $50 toys and $30 toys for their children because they don't have the slightest idea. They're just into parties and toys for their children and things like that. I would suggest that you all use the toys that come in on donation, because we don't have the finances to support you for your rent, your utilities, your vehicles, the gas in your vehicles, your doctors, your nurses, your food, clothing, the repairs on your buildings, your cell phones, all the different things that you want, and your toys, and your whatever. The United States, or what supposedly is the United States government, says that each person they assessed the rent and the food and everything that you people get at this church, and they said 20 years ago that you're getting $3,500 a month, because that's what it would cost for each person to live out in the world. So you're getting more than adequately paid. Because the Bible says if you're not working the works of the Lord, you're not even supposed to eat. So you're more than adequately paid. And the Lord doesn't want you to get paid if you're not going to keep His commandments. And He wants you to get paid with curses. The Bible says that. Then there's people that say, I want to tell you the reason why I'm acting like the devil in the church. We had a young, insane girl say that yesterday. In other words, she says there's a reason why it's all right to be insane. And she says because one reason after the other. And so she doesn't really care what the Lord says. She just feels that she, if anyone had the right, because of what people do, to act insane, it would be me more, because I have to, I see all these different things that you people don't see. And yet there was a laundry list of people that said everything about, she's never changed. No matter how people treat her, she's always a wicked and evil. And then she wants to be transferred over to her mother's house. No matter where I send her, wherever she goes, she brings trouble. And so like, there's so many problems that I really don't have the time to keep up with them all. Because I have a work of the Lord to do. I've run out of places to put devils. And I'm really not supposed to put any devil anywhere in this church, but they're to go out. Now she's 20 years old, and she'll be 21 pretty soon. And she ought to get out of the church and go and get herself a job someplace, because she's totally filled with lust and totally filled with her own ideas of why she has the right to be a devil in this church. One of the tapes that I sent out the other day, it had a list of the different people that I had chastened and put out of the this area here. And she didn't want to hear the message. All she wanted to do is hear the who was thrown out and who wasn't thrown out. And then right after that message, she went and sent a note over here saying that the reason that she's a devil is because that she doesn't, and her own mother said she never thought anybody loved her in her life when she was a little girl, and she's just carried that on until this day, this very day. So it's obvious she's full of fightings and wars, and she's filled with lust. And the poor creature doesn't realize it. So before I put her out, I pray that everybody will pray for her. I don't like putting people out. But if after prayer and after all the instructions that the people have heard, there isn't anything else that I can do, unless I want to be disobedient to the Lord, as some of the people are. And I'm not going to do that. The Lord wants me to be merciful to the people of the Lord, but not merciful to the devil, because the Lord himself is not merciful to the devil. The Bible says that they're going to be screaming eternally, and he still is not going to turn the heat off. Amen?
Amen.
He's just going to heap coals of fire on them, and he won't pay any attention to their screams, to their torments. Okay, let's keep going.
Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain.
Sure, they kill souls, like this girl, and then she said that other people, then she's bringing false accusations against other people over there at the church, at the place where she's living at now. And everybody in this that has been around her said, no, that person is fine. She just doesn't like it when the girl sits around doing nothing and is scorning and bitter and evil and lashing out at everybody. She's lazy. When you put her on a job, they say she just... There'll be two people maybe washing dishes for a great group of people, and all of a sudden she just drifts away from the job and leaves all the work to the person at the sink. And she'll be found sitting talking to some other weak person in the church, because she loves to prey on weak people and throw their souls. She's done it before. Then she blames it on an elderly woman that has a big weight problem. And those are the ones that the sisters all say that, that she's really good. The only time she gets upset at her is when she is not doing anything and is causing havoc in the house. Okay, so much for that. Now let's get back to the message.
Translation, verse 6. If you sit where the man with the discharge has sat, you will be required to wash your clothes and bathe in water.
Yeah, you're not to sit with people like that. You're not supposed to do anything with people like that. And you'd think that they'd be reproved and, be convicted, because everybody's bringing these reports on her, and she still never changes. And I myself can see, I've told her many times that she has got a demon, and she has to get rid of it. And she says, nobody loves me. And I said, nobody loves that demon. Nobody that is of the Lord is going to love the devil. And you've got one. And it's going to turn into many more if you don't repent. And she said, that just doesn't go enter into her heart. She still wants to do what the devil wants her to do, that demon. She's possessed by a demon or... And so what can you do? You've run out of places to put demons in this church. So she's going to have to go. Now she wants to be transferred to Fort Smith, into her mother's house. And the mother has several children, and the mother, doesn't want her children or herself to be under this influence either. So I've pretty well run out of places to put her in the church. Now on the street, she's 20 years old. She can get a job. Okay, what else?
You will then remain defiled until evening. Verse 7. The same instructions apply if you touch the man who has the unclean discharge. Verse 8. And if he spits on you, you must undergo the same procedure. Verse 9. Any blanket on which the man rides will be defiled. Verse 10. If you touch or carry anything that was under him, you will be required to wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain defiled until evening.
Well, we're a nation of priests. We're not to touch the unclean thing or to fellowship with the devil. Okay, but he says to rebuke the devil, put him out, get him away, far away. Then what?
Verse 11, if the man touches you without first rinsing his hands, then you will be required to wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain defiled until evening. Verse 12, any clay pot touched by the man with the discharge must be broken, and every wooden utensil he touches must be rinsed with water. King James Version, verse 13. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean.
And you know, there's a book that was written by a man that was a sheep herder, and he likened his flock of sheep as the Lord judges his people. And he stated that there was one most beautiful ram that he had, or a lamb, and that one was leading all the other ones astray. And he would look at that he had the best field of grass for his sheep, and this guy would, this lamb would look over at the other field, and it was didn't have the nutrients in the grass that he had planted in there, and it kept trying to get on the other side, and it would crawl under it, and a lot of other sheep would crawl with it, because it was such a magnificent looking sheep. And finally, you know, after going through this over and over again, there wasn't anything left for the shepherd to do, he said, but to slaughter that lamb, no matter how pretty it was, because it was leading all the other lambs astray. And he said he had to sacrifice that one because it was rotten to the core, and there's nothing that could be done about it. Like a grand champion-looking lamb, but looks are only skin deep. Amen?
Amen.
What was the name of that book? Anybody remember?
23rd Psalm.
The 23rd Psalm. That book has been approved, and it's, several people have it in the church. It's definitely approved to read because it really is a very good book. Okay, and then what else?
Verse 14. And on the eighth day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. Verse 15, and the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. Verse 16, and if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water, and be unclean until the even. Verse 17, and every garment and every skin whereon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the even.
See, this is all symbolic. And, you know, the Lord never crosses his word. He doesn't tell you to be clean in the Old Testament and not to be clean in the New. He doesn't tell you, he doesn't have a change of heart or a change of mind. He hates sin. And he didn't save people's souls so that you could sin. Yeah, he isn't that kind of a God. That isn't love. That wouldn't be a God of love to me, that if he condones sin, he said we have to be perfect in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Right, then what?
Verse 18. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the even. Verse 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even.
Okay, and yeah, there's people that say they're so tired also. There's another one like that out here. And that they just can't come to services. Well, you know, that's all the more reason to come to a service if you're tired and you feel sick and weak, because the Spirit of the Lord would come and heal you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's people, you see them coming to these satanic healing people on television, and they are satanic because they are into witchcraft and Catholicism and Islam and all these different things. And people, they come there on stretchers and wheelchairs and everything to get healed. And this person over here, there's nothing really that you can see that's physically wrong with them. And during services, they want to sleep instead of come and get healed. There's some people out in the world that don't want to get healed because they get welfare, and they figure if they get welfare, if they get healed, they can't get their welfare checks anymore. There's a lot of wicked people in this world, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 20, and everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. Verse 21, and whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Verse 22, and whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Translation, verse 13 through 22. Verse 13, when the man's discharge heals, he must count off a period of 7 days. During that time, he must wash his clothes and bathe in fresh spring water. Then he will be ceremonially clean. Verse 14, on the 8th day, he must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and present himself to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle and give his offerings to the priest. Verse 15, the priest will present the offerings there, one for a sin offering and the other for a whole burnt offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the man before the Lord for his discharge. Verse 16, whenever a man has an emission of semen, he must wash his entire body, and he will remain ceremonially defiled until evening. Verse 17, any clothing or leather that comes in contact with the semen must be washed, and it will remain defiled until evening. Verse 18, after having sexual intercourse, both the man and the woman must bathe, and they will remain defiled until evening. Verse 19, whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. If you touch her during that time, you will be defiled until evening. Verse 20, anything on which she lies or sits during that time will be defiled. Verse 21, if you touch her bed, you must wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain defiled until evening.
So there are things that come out of the body that are unclean, and there are things that come out of the body that are clean. Okay, the word of the Lord and the way that you conduct yourself, the way you walk in the Spirit, is the clean. And anything else other than that is unclean. Then what?
Verse 22. The same applies if you touch an object on which she sits. King James Version, verse 23. And if it be on her bed, or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even. Verse 24, and if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. Verse 25, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Verse 26. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue, shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. Verse 27. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. Verse 28, but if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. Translation, verse 23 through 28. Verse 23, whether it is her bedding or any piece of furniture. verse 24, if a man has sexual intercourse with her during this time, her menstrual impurity will be transmitted to him. He will remain defiled for 7 days, and any bed on which he lies will be defiled. Verse 25, if the menstrual flow of the blood continues for many days beyond the normal period, or if she discharges blood unrelated to her menstruation, the woman will be ceremonially unclean as long as the discharge continues. Verse 26, anything on which she lies or sits during that time will be defiled, just as it would be during her normal menstrual period. Verse 27, if you touch her bed or anything on which she sits, you will be defiled. You will be required to wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain defiled until evening.
So the Lord makes a difference between the blood of Jesus that makes everything clean and the blood of a woman who caused Christ to have to die, so that he had to shed his blood to win, to save your soul and my soul. Okay? So women are not to be exalted or to have liberty, as they say. They're to be under subjection to the Word of God, which puts them under subjection to men. And, people fight that. That's just too bad for them. They don't seem to care what's going to happen to them at the judgment bar of God, or what's going to happen to them eternally in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 28. When the woman's menstrual discharge stops, she must count off a period of 7 days. After that, she will be ceremonially clean. King James Version, verse 29. And on the 8th day she shall take unto her 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
That means turtle doves. Okay, then what else?
Verse 30. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Verse 31. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness.
The issue comes out of your mouth, that's unclean. The Lord doesn't want you to die unclean. He doesn't want you to die in your uncleanness, so you have to repent according to the law. Because he doesn't want to see anybody go to hell. You send yourself there. Then what else?
Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among them.
And we are to be the tabernacle of the Lord, the temple of God. Amen?
Amen.
So if there's anything issuing out of your mouth that is contrary to the Word of God, you don't have to be, genius to figure it out. That's the devil talking out of your mouth. You're a possession of the devil. Okay? It's easy to understand, isn't it? Okay, then what?
Verse 32. This is the law of him that hath an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him, and is defiled therewith.
See, our words are like seeds, too. The Word of God is like a seed. So he wants true words to, and not unclean words to come out of us, but true words. When a person says, well, I guess he just got under her skin. Those are some bad seed that's coming out of that person. That person is defiled. And they still are not cut to their heart for saying such things as that. My God, how can they call themselves a Christian? Then what? They're full of the lust of the world. Then what?
Verse 33. And of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue, of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. Translation, verse 29 through 33. On the 8th day she must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and present them to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 30. The priest will offer one for a sin offering and the other for a whole burnt offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her before the Lord for her menstrual discharge. Verse 31. In this way you will keep the people of Israel separate from things that will defile them, so they will not die as a result of defiling my tabernacle that is right there among them. Verse 32. These are the instructions for dealing with a man who has been defiled by a genital discharge or an emission of semen. Verse 33, or dealing...
Right, yeah, that's a symbolic of any bad seed that comes out of your mouth, because you're sowing the Lord's seed or Satan's seed. Okay? Then what?
verse 33, or dealing with a woman during her monthly menstrual period, or dealing with anyone, man or woman, who has had a bodily discharge of any kind, and for dealing with a man who has had intercourse with a woman during her period.
Okay, now that was the last verse in chapter 15, and we have some commentary.
15, verse 1 through 33. This chapter deals with uncleanness associated with discharges from male and female sexual organs.
But it also is symbolic of that which comes out of your mouth, because there's a lot of sexual discharge coming out of people's mouths today. Evil discharge. Then what else?
Also showing how objects or persons associated with unclean people become clean. By Jesus' time, the religious community had used various Levitical laws to isolate the people so much that they felt entangled from God himself. Jesus countered this, demonstrating God's desire to draw near to the unclean and make them whole. You can see this in Mark 1:40-41 and 5:24-34.
You know, he came that sinners could be saved. So they'd stop doing all the unclean things they do. Okay, read that. Oh, okay, wait a minute. How many more is this? Okay, just let them read that, and I'll go into the rest of the commentary.
Some theologians may tell you that abstaining from sexual relationships with a woman with discharge would be wrong, but it definitely is carried over into the New Testament as well. Abstaining from the blood. And it's impossible to propagate children anyway when a woman is on her period. And there are so many different discharges today that for the health's sake of human beings, they need to be sure they're clean. We have AIDS, syphilis, and all sorts of other things today.
Right. There was a woman that just came out of the world, and she was upset because she hadn't been in the church, and nobody knows what she's been into out there, and she felt that that she was being humiliated to ask her to go get a blood test. This one that got married to her wanted to get a blood test. But, if you were a Hebrew or if you're a true Christian, you're going to want to comply so that your husband is going to be relaxed with you. And so you shouldn't be humiliated at all to do the things that the Lord commands you to do. Anyway, this is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 15 of the book of Leviticus. And keep paralleling these things with the New Testament and with uncleanness, sin, filth, filthy things that people say, or things that are totally contrary. Only the Lord is supposed to be speaking from us. All right? Just the Spirit of the Lord. And meditate, think about this all the time. Keep looking up. Look into the scriptures, and then pray always. Pray without ceasing. Until chapter 16 in Leviticus, which Lord willing we'll do tonight. God bless you, and praise the Lord.